The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want, you can give me a call on this wonderful, January 29th, Thursday. We are back back on because we had 3 days of snow and stuff like that. So I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. It is easy. Give me a call. And let's see, got to do this right there. And also, if you're interested in emailing me, that's easy to do as well. Just send an email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org. All right, now put the subject line, radio comment, radio question. All right, now, so get this. I actually wrote an article on this, let's see. Okay, here we go. Okay. So, two or three nights ago. I'm trying to remember what night it was. Anyway, I got online. This is a really good conversation. I got online and was talking to some Catholics, good into a Catholic room, and I was on Discord. And let me just tell you, you know, I'm kind of known among the Catholics. They don't like me. So they're very frequently looking for whatever they can, whoever they can, to try and refute me and silence me, etc. And this one guy, it was a really interesting conversation. This one guy, hey, Charlie and Laura, if you could move the cursor out of that square that I use on that file, that'd be helpful. All right. And so we had this discussion, and he was intelligent. He was very competent. He was able to answer a lot of stuff. Not that the answers were good, but that he was able to just come back with stuff. Well, okay, so long story short, here we go, all right? So we're talking, and, I have this thing I ask the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox, and I'll say, okay, let me get to this. Let me understand. Are you saying then that Mary can hear millions of prayers spoken and thought all at the same time, understand the intentions of their hearts, and be able to do this while they're speaking different languages, and she knows the perfect will of God to apply to everybody, and she knows the history of the prayers, the sincerity of the one praying, and she can give instructions to the angelic realm in order to answer all the prayers? And they said, yes. So I'm like, okay, wow, that's interesting. So their answer is yes. All right. So they said, all things are possible with God. And this one guy went to Luke 1, and where, you know, Mary says that she can't have a child because she's a virgin. And it says, all things are possible with God. And I went and I told the guy, I said, look, this is the context about the virgin birth, not about, you know, Mary hearing millions of prayers simultaneously spoken in thought, all this stuff. And I found other verses where it talks about this, and in Matthew, Mark, John, I think it is, and they're in the context of salvation. You know, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, you know, than a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And so, but with God, all things are possible. And so the issue here is that when they use the verse, this is going to get good, okay? When they use this idea, well, God can do, you know, you can do it if he wants to. And they said to me, they challenged me, prove to me God can't do it. And I'm like, wow. And so that's what I'm supposed to do, is prove a negative, right? You can't do it. You know, I can say things like, you can't lie, you know, Titus 1:2, stuff like that, you know. But we get talking. I said, so he can do anything, right? He can do anything. It just went bad to worse. I said, okay, so can God make the planet Venus fit in my pocket? And, you know, I'm just going on, you know, this guy said, well, of course he can. I'm laughing because it's not possible, and I'll tell you why. And he said my laughter was my nervousness because I was losing, which made me laugh more. And I was getting a complete kick out of it. And so I said, so wait a minute. He said, so he can make Venus fit in my pocket? He goes, yeah, I can shrink it down, make it fit in your pocket. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, but by definition, it wouldn't be Venus anymore, because Venus, by definition, is a planet, the second planet in the solar system. It's humongous. You know, if he removes it from there and turns it into a little ball that I put in my pocket, it's no longer a planet. So it's not the planet Venus. This is called a category error. You know, it's just simple logic. And I said, this is not possible, because you guys, you know, you don't know logic well enough to say this, you know, to understand the problem. It would just no longer be Venus. Now, if he wants to say, well, he could take Venus and remove it from where it is, reduce its mass, you know, such that it only weighs a few ounces and is no longer 800 degrees because Venus is really hot. Because I wouldn't want an 800 degree, you know, glowing sphere in my pocket. No, thank you. And so, change. So it's not flaming hot, and you know, remove all the. Just hold on. I'm cracking up because it's so lame. And yeah, they could do that. It would be Venus. It wouldn't be Venus. So. Oh, but wait, there's more, all right? And so I said, okay. I said, and I got really, you think that's ridiculous? You're going to love this one. I'm still cracking up. But remember, I'm laughing because I was losing the argument. But I must be losing it again now. So anyway, I actually asked the question. I couldn't believe it. I almost can't believe I asked the question, but what's really dumbfounding is they answered it. And here was the question I asked next. I said, well, wait a minute. Can God make Mary so big that she can eat the planet Jupiter? I mean, man, you know, it's like, man, this is getting bad. And this guy, he goes, yes. Wow. So obviously I was losing the argument a lot more at that point. I really was having a good time. And he said, wait a minute. So I said, she'll be out in space eating Jupiter? And he goes, yeah. I said, what's she breathing? She breathing air out there? Well, he can make a pocket of air around her. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, this is incredible. And you know, I didn't think of this, but later, I thought of it later. Well, you know, Jupiter's helium and hydrogen. That'd give her indigestion, you know? And then we'd have a celestial belch. I mean, it'd just be incredible. But you wouldn't be able to hear it because out in space, you can't. Sound doesn't travel in space. Well, anyway, back to this. So I did some research. And I couldn't do the exact research when it was live, but I did a little bit of research after. I actually wrote an article on this, and I released it today. And you know, I forgot. I researched it then. I said, I think, you know, Jupiter's like 88,000 miles or 89,000 miles in diameter. And I said, she had to be a lot bigger than that to either eat the whole planet or take chunks out of it and chew it up. And, man. And so I did some research. It turns out that the human mouth on average is about 3% of your height when you open it up. Okay, well, then that I calculated she'd be like over 2 million miles tall, all right? So in order to eat Jupiter, and I go, is this possible? And they said, yes. Oh, man. And so I said, okay, just making sure, right, that's the case. And I said, no, let's go take it one step further. One step further, I said, can God make Mary bigger than the universe? Now we're really talking, okay? And we went from Venus becoming an orb in my pocket to Mary eating Jupiter to Mary being bigger than the universe. And this room is full of people, and they kept saying I was getting beaten badly. Wow. And I guess so. And so because I kept laughing. Right? And they go, you're nervous because you're losing, because you can't prove us wrong. I'm like, wow. And I said, okay. So by definition, the universe is what space-time is, and it encompasses all things within that. So if you're saying she's bigger than the universe, then she wouldn't be part of the universe, and the universe isn't what the universe is. By definition, you have a non sequitur. It just doesn't make any sense. It's incoherent to suggest that. And he said, no, you don't know logic. Oh, okay. And he tried to attack some other stuff some other time, and, you know, it was just bad. Anyway, so I said, so he can make her bigger than the universe, right? Well, universe is basically all that exists in the physical realm. And she'd be physical, but then she's going to be physical, but by definition of the universe, she'd have to be in it, but she's out of it, and she's bigger than it. I guess she could just use the planet Jupiter as eye drops at that point. Make a Jupiter shake, in a cosmic blender, put it all together and she could drink it. I don't know. But, you know, this is the kind of ridiculous idiocy that proceeds from heresy. When you have a heresy and you try and defend it, and the guy did a, he sounded like he knew what he was talking about a lot of times, unless you know logic. And it just heresy leads to heresy, right? So later he had to go, all right? And that was fine. And then a little bit after that, I brought up, I was still in the room and I was still going through stuff. I won't get into that. I said to them, look, 1 Corinthians 4:6 says you're not to exceed what's written. And I wrote an article on that today, as a matter of fact. I thought I already had it, but I didn't. And so, not to exceed what's written. That's the Word of God. Don't exceed what the Word of God actually says. And in John 2:5, Mary says to do whatever Jesus said to do. Uh-huh. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, Matthew 11:28. And I said, where does it say to go to Mary? Because if you go to Mary, you're exceeding what's written in the Word of God. And you're not obeying Mary, who says to go to Jesus. Listen to what he says. And he says, come to himself. Now, that was a quick and slick way of getting into stuff. And believe it or not, last night I was talking to an Eastern Orthodox guy. And he was really polite. We had a great conversation. He wasn't whacked like the first guy was. And I brought this up to him. And he understood it. And he actually admitted that, yeah, he's going beyond Scripture with his teachings and stuff like that, what the Eastern Orthodox Church teaches. And I said, well, then, isn't that sinful, since the Scripture says don't do it? And it was, I wasn't trying to make him look bad or anything, and wasn't mocking him or anything. I said, do you understand the seriousness of this? And he said, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And it was a polite conversation. I planted a seed, and we kind of went our separate ways. So, no big deal. And that was my experience lately, debating, teaching, and things like that. So believe it or not, according to some Catholics, Mary can be made by God to be able to eat Jupiter, and she can be bigger than the universe. Wow. Man, it was enjoyable. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. We have 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hope you enjoyed the... I did. I'm still cracking up about it. So for you, it was entertaining. I was entertaining for you. You know, I sometimes know when I get kind of stupid fun, I wonder how many people are driving and listening and just chuckling slightly at the least. That'd be nice entertaining. Let me know if you do. You know, I want to see if I make you kind of smile sometimes. All right, let's get to Cody from Texas. Cody, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Oh, man, just recounting witnessing encounters online.
Yeah, it was enlightening. Yeah, it's good that you're dealing with the EO stuff, and that was kind of part of my question. This is kind of a higher level deal that you may want to lay out to listeners. Sure. But they are predominantly using the tag argument, like the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics even are adopting
to do what?
To defend Christianity.
Yeah, that and tag and, argument is a good defense.
They're getting a lot. Well, they're getting a lot of, you know, notoriety for it.
It's a good argument. Tag is a good argument, a transcendental argument for God's existence. So the EO can use it. No, they can't justify their heresies that they teach out of the Bible, but they can use the argument. I mean, that's, you know,
sure.
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, like, of course. But, like, I've heard, I guess it was, you know, it was several years ago, I heard Dr. James White address this particular issue, why those particular groups can't use this argument because their foundation's built on, say, like a three-legged stool.
And yeah, but that's like
to,
Islam.
To church history.
Yeah, that's like Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't, because not only with tag that goes into the issue of the one and the many and what's called universals and particulars. And so Unitarian systems have problem. They can't, I don't see how they can justify certain stuff in the, or what I'm just mentioning. I don't have to go into all the details, but it's a problem there. Sure. Trinitarian-based theological systems can. So the EO and the RC are Trinitarian-based. Okay?
Right. Yeah, but it seems like the kind of what I picked up was the after you know, yeah, they can use the tag, and then you address their individual heresies within their particular church thing. But like, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, of course, that's an option, but I think that they can't use that because their foundation for describing tag is from Scripture.
Well,
right?
It's
the God of the Bible that's revealed himself in Scripture.
But hold on.
Right?
Hold on. Kind of. Okay? The tag argument deals with what's called transcendentals. And you presuppose transcendentals. What are those? They're things like roundness, tree-ness, or justice, or the laws of logic. And generally the laws of logic are the objects that are discussed. They're abstract objects. And so you can work from that without even being a Christian. You can presuppose that and make a logical connection. Okay, you can do that, all right? So they can, all right? They don't have to presuppose the truth of the Bible. They can presuppose the truth of the universals. And then from that, you can go into the one and the many, the issue, the Trinitarian essence that's revealed only in the Bible, validates the Bible, then you move from there forward. Okay?
If that makes sense. Right, but like what I'm saying is, like if you're arguing, you know, from, say, the laws of logic, you know, the uniformity of nature principle of induction, you know,
yeah.
And then going into objective morality, like only those things can be justified within the Christian worldview as God has revealed himself in Scripture.
Right. Ultimately, yes.
And so when they try to argue it, they try to argue from church authority.
Yes, that's
true.
Yeah.
Shifty and has changed and is malleable, I guess.
I agree with you. Totally agree with you. They're doing that.
It seems problematic.
It is. See, just strictly speaking,
and try to get everybody to their side because they don't have a gospel, right? There is no salvation in Roman Catholicism or Eastern Orthodox.
Right, they have a false
gospel.
There's
no gospel.
They have a false gospel. That's right. But I'm just telling you, technically, they can use tag and they can arrive at varying conclusions and defend that God exists. But that doesn't justify, like you're saying, doesn't justify their false teachings. And I just released an article today. You might want to look at it on CARM. Is 1 Corinthians 4:6, okay. 6, not exceeding what's written. And I've used it before, but last night I really used it a lot, and I was surprised at how effective it was. So I wrote an article in that, and you go check it out. It's a good way, I think, to argue against Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism because they're actually violating the Word of God. They flat out are, and we go through some of the stuff in there in the article. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I heard you talk about that when you were talking about the mentioning that mm-hmm. in the previous yeah. segment. Yeah, mm-hmm. that seems like a really good deal, and especially the individual admitting, yeah, I'm exceeding what's written. And right. So, yeah, that's good. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate
sure,
man. It.
No problem God at bless. All, buddy.
Have a good one.
You too. God bless. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, you can. It's easy, 877-220-7276. Now, Mark Pardone, I hope I got that right, said he loves corn. Hey, man, thanks for saying that. Appreciate that. So I'm just thinking about what direction to go here, because we know a lot of people watch and participate in Facebook, X, Rumble, and various things like that. So if you make comments, we don't always get to them, okay, because I'm doing the radio. I'm just juggling a lot of balls in the air here, and it's, you know, it's kind of tough sometimes. But, you know, let me know. You know, maybe I can mention it over the air and say, hey, you know, thanks for what you said, you know, and stuff like that. That'd be appreciated. And Mark Pardone says he loves Carm, which just tells you he's a smart man. That's right. That's obvious. All right. Like I said, if you are interested, you can go to 1 Corinthians 4:6. It's nobody's waiting right now. Let me do that. I'm going to show you something in Scripture. This is because what you guys listen to me do, you call in and you're listening to me. I'm an apologist. I defend the Christian faith. I'm going to teach you a method for defending the Christian faith from the false teachings of Mormonism. I mean, it's going to be, it would work with Mormonism, but they don't really believe the Bible as much as they're supposed to. But it's really aimed at the issue of Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. And this verse is 1 Corinthians 4:6. And this is what it says. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. By the way, Cody Robbins, thanks for the $5 rant there. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, so not to exceed what is written. What does that mean? Different translations will say different things. Different translations say different things. So if I go over and do this right now, I wrote the article. I just go to that. I did the research there. It'll say things like don't go beyond, don't exceed. And so what it means is don't go and do more than what the Scripture has written about on a particular topic. And we'll get to that after the break. So please hold on. Be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Bottom of the hour on January 29th. So if you want to give me a call, it's easy, 877-207-2276. And I was talking about a way to witness. And now, look, if you have a phone, there's all kinds of things you can do. If you have a Bible, you know, you hold in your hand, or you have a phone where you have a Bible app, you want to have a Bible app, at least on the phone. That's what I use mostly, is a place where you can put notes at a verse, or you can have another place that has a bunch of verses that you use or topics. I do this. I do this a lot, and so I use that kind of stuff. But I have a Logos Bible software, and what I've done is gone through and put in hundreds and hundreds of my research comments in the program so that I could be on my phone anywhere. And someone might bring up a verse. I can, I've got a comment on there, it'll show up and I click on it and I can read what my research is on that and give them responses or whatever. And so, you know, it's just something to do. Now you can do that with 1 Corinthians 4:6. 1 Corinthians 4:6. This issue here, what it says is that you're not to exceed what's written. And when I was talking about this with someone, a guy goes, well, then you can't ride bikes then, can you? Because bicycles aren't in the Bible. And I said, it says don't exceed what is written. In other words, what it says, what's written down, that's what you go by, and you don't go beyond what it says. So it doesn't address the issue of bicycles and cars. It just addresses the issue of, for example, who to pray to, who to seek, things like that, you know, in the spiritual realm. Don't go to seeking the dead in Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. Things like this. And so, you know, because it's really amazing to me how many people, in different ways, different attempts, they want to justify their heresies. They get used to their heresies. And so I said, is your priesthood found in the New Testament? Is it found there? Is your praying to Mary found in the Bible? Any place? And of course, it's no. So then what you're doing is you're exceeding what's written. You're going beyond what's written. The Bible says, don't do that. And I say, I ask them, why are you doing that? And I was surprised how effective the question was. So I'm going to be using it more and more. Now, they will have their comebacks. And I wrote in that article on CARM, I wrote some responses to some of the standard objections. I have used it before, and I've gotten a few responses and stuff. But this time, I just really started focusing on it. So there you go. There you go. It's on CARM. You can check it out. Do not exceed what is written, 1 Corinthians 4, 6. And you can check it out. All right. All right. Let's get to Buskman from Ohio. Buskman, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, always awesome to get to talk to you, Matt. Like I was telling our screener, I want to know, Matt, what does a congregational member do in response to their pastor being caught in a great sin, and now this dimension has happened, Matt. He is doubling down on his innocence when we know he is, in fact, guilty. What do we as the congregation member do, Matt?
Wow. Well, there's different congregation rules, bylaws, and things like that, and it depends on what the actual issue is. And so without, I don't know if you can say it over the air, I don't know, but
it's of a sexual nature. It's very egregious sexual impropriety.
So, adultery? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, it's a criminal act as well, sir.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We've talked before. Is this the same issue?
Yes. I figured you'd remember, Matt. Yeah.
I
need your guidance on this because this okay, particular pastor is doubling down on his innocence and saying, and actually is blaming the other person. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we've had conversations over the phone about this, so I can't repeat some stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Over the air. However, the elders, and I think if I remember correctly, he's the only elder. The congregation just needs to stop going. Just abandon.
Okay.
That's what it is.
And you're correct. There are no elders. He's the appointed. He was transferred the pastorhood. Matt, I don't know if I ever discussed that part, but he was given the reins of the church, if you will, and it's a very small congregation.
Yeah, I remember.
But he was passed on. But they do have Baptist roots, Matt. I mean,
focus on this, okay? Because what should you do, all right? What should you do?
Right.
Well, besides a horizontal knee tackle stopping him from getting in the pulpit to preach, everybody needs to not go. Because what he has done is he has, and I've talked to you over the phone about it, and I know more than what I can say over the air about it and stuff you've conveyed to me. So it's obvious from what the evidence is that he's guilty, absolutely. So he's automatically disqualified, and the congregation members need to demand his departure. And if he refuses, they just don't go. And then he just sits on a Sunday morning by himself. That's all you can do.
Got it.
And they go someplace else. Okay? And let the authorities deal with the legality and stuff. Okay.
Yes, sir. I do know this. He is no longer in the pulpit, but he is attending off campus the services. Basically, it's a Bible study with his own family. And he's out on bail right now. And pending further litigation and court procedures and such.
Right.
But he, as far as I know, he has not repented.
Okay.
He's doubling down on the innocence, And
then
they have barred me, Matt, from going to the quote unquote Sunday Bible study. I said to the leader, let's just say it's a she. She actually asked me, don't come. You need to find another place to go to church, Busman.
Yeah, you can only do so much, okay? Your responsibility is to confront the pastor and his great sin, and the congregation needs to know that they need to stop supporting him, period. It's just what it is. I'd be willing to do a mass phone call with everybody. You know, I mean, I'd do that. And if they say you can't go there, they have that right, according to the laws of the land and private property, open to the public and restrictions. So you just have to abide by that. And then you just dust your feet off, as even as Jesus told them in the disciples, just dust your feet off and go. Keep going someplace else. Let God deal with them.
That's amazing, right? Matt. Am I required, Matt, to go to him and give him the Matthew 18, where I go and say, hey, brother so-and-so, we know this, and then and move according to what Matthew writes in Matthew 18, sir.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you have to go with a witness. So you're not obligated to.
I do have a witness. Okay. Yeah, I do have a witness.
So you're not obligated to do it because you're outside the church and not asked, and you're asked not to go back. So the issue of going back might be a legal thing, and you just be careful of stuff like that. But if you're going to do it, you've got to do it with a witness, and you need to have it recorded. I don't know what the laws are in that state. Here in Idaho, it's one person consent. So you just take a type recorder.
Okay.
You go. I don't know what is there.
But that's how we are in Ohio. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. So then record it. And that's it. I would just do that if it's possible. And once you're done with that, you're done. Yeah. You know, the people in the congregation need to know. And that's it. You're done. You move on.
Because that's what's been weighing on my heart, Matt, is am I the only one? Because the other people that go that are attending this quote-unquote Bible study off campus at their homes, their personal home, I don't know if they know what I know because the person that was harmed came to me. I transferred the information to a dear brother who introduced me to the pastor, and he was distraught as well.
Yes, so, I mean, this is what we've gone over. So this is it. That's what you got to do and see.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
And keep records.
That'll work.
Always keep records. Okay, buddy.
I will.
Okay,
yep.
God bless.
Yep, thanks, Matt. I appreciate you, sir. God
all
bless.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. Yeah, I forgot about that. We've had some good conversations over the phone about this, and it was good stuff. And by the way, we've got a break coming up, and we'll get to the caller next, but after the break. Locally here, recently, and I'm going to be very vague how I say this, but it's public record. But the offense, I don't want to even say over the radio. A pastor was caught blah, blah, blah stuff of that kind of thing, except in two-dimensional form, and dispersing stuff. And so I hope that made sense. And as soon as the church elders found out, I mean, within 3.28 microseconds, he was out. They were said, you're out, you're gone. And there's going to be jail time involved with this pastor because of this offense. And so I don't know what his status of repentance is. I don't know. I'm not here to judge him. If he asked me to come and talk to him and counsel him, or just, you know, I would. I'd say, yeah, no problem. And I'm not going to point fingers. He's disqualified from ever being a pastor again, period. And he needs to face the consequences of his actions. But it does happen. It does happen. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. Let's get to Cody from Texas. Cody, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling back, man. I wanted to ask you a question. So I'm looking for a new church, right?
Okay.
And I have a few diagnostic questions. It was just like three of them originally for the last church I joined, and they did not fulfill any of those, even though they told me that they would when I asked the pastor. And so I kind of, it kind of tells me what I need to know theologically. And so I wanted to run them by you and see what you thought.
Okay.
And so one of the questions is, do you practice church discipline? And how is that enacted? And how long has the church been established, and how long since it was applied? Right? How long has it been since you've actually done church discipline?
Okay. So, yeah. See, I would say, you know, do they practice it? And if yes, is there an instance you can tell me about, you know, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, whatever? And see what they say, and just leave it generic, because in those kinds of things, they don't really want to talk about them very much for obvious reasons.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was kind of my deal, is I just asked the simple question last time, do you practice church discipline? Because they had kind of a covenant agreement and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't ask, you know, when was the last time that was implemented?
Okay.
Because I know several godly people that have left since, besides myself, because it wasn't enacted for the benefit. And I think that, you know, involves your love for your people, right? And so my next question is, I asked the pastor, is Roman Catholicism compatible with the Bible, and are they Christians? You think that's a good question?
Say that
and
again.
Then,
repeat that.
Is Roman Catholicism compatible with the Bible, and are they Christians?
All right.
And then the next one I asked.
How about this? How about this? A more refined statement would be, is official Roman Catholic theology Christian? And just leave it that way. Because you can have Catholics who could be Christians, but not, you know.
Sure.
That's why I say official
Roman
Catholic
themselves.
Theology. Right. In spite of the Catholicism. Okay. Go ahead. Next.
Okay. And the other one, of course, I'm here in the South, so it's a big deal. Can you be active in Freemasonry and the Masonic Lodge and be a Christian? Because those two are not compatible.
Well, okay, now, you know me, I'm more technical.
Sure.
And is it possible for someone to be in both places in that sense inconsistently? Yes, it is. You could have someone who's a Mason, has been in it for years, becomes a Christian. It might take a year or two or three for him to come out, or her to come out, him. All right. So in that technical sense, yes, they could be. Not that they should.
Yeah, and when I asked him that question, he said, no, those aren't compatible.
Yes.
But yet one of the deacons was the grand wizard guy at the local Masonic Lodge.
That's a problem.
And the police chief of our small town.
Yeah, he shouldn't be. It should not be the case that a grand wizard.
Or whatever they're called, like the grand.
He's a grand wizard, and he shouldn't. No, he has no place being a deacon, okay? Or an elder, right.
And then, okay, here's kind of one that I came up with recently. Should we hold the position abortion is murder of human beings, and all involved be accountable for murder, with, of course, forgiveness being found in Christ?
Yeah, that's a good question.
From a legal stance.
That's a good question, and I'm not sure how to answer that one. Because, I'm not sure how to answer that, and there are some variables in here. Now, normally speaking, when we have fertilization, we have questions. And this is where, this is the kind of, now you see what I'm saying here. We don't know exactly biblically when a fertilization becomes a human. Is it at the moment of fertilization? If it is the case, then we can make the case for murder. If it is not at the case, if it's not the case, and that after a little development, God somehow works in it afterwards, then we have less of a case. Now, generally speaking, an abortion occurs way after that. And I think at that point, when you have a viable, not, I don't want to say viable, when you have, well, I'm not going to say anything, after that point, when we know they have human form, humanness, I'm sorry, you're human, and it should not be the case. And then you can make the case for murder from that perspective. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, like my position, like I'm an evolutionist in regards to that. Like I think the only biblically consistent position is It is a human being when it's conceived.
It makes the most
with
sense.
With its own DNA.
Yep.
And I mean, that's just science. I don't even have to argue from scripture.
No, I agree. I agree because of nature.
It's a human being,
right,
and you're killing this human being. Like it's murder. It's taking of innocent life. That's what murder is. Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. So the argument I use is at conception, the nature of I gotta tell you this. I argue this sometimes with secularists, with atheists, and we get into the issue of logic stuff. So a lot of that's in the back of my head, and I ask them, "What is the nature of the fertilized egg at this point?" I use their term to say, "What is that? Is it human or is it not human?" If they say it's not human, then I say, "Well, then it would be okay to transfer it into a dog, right? The womb of a dog, right?"
Yeah, I've heard you say, yeah.
And and I've had some say, yes, that's okay. And I said, well, then why then would that kill both the dog and the what's growing in there? Because it will. And I say the nature is reflected in the essence, and the characteristics of humanity are not restricted to physical form, such as arms and legs. Because if a man is in an accident and loses his arms and legs, he's still human. So you can't say humanity is the result of biological development when he has arms and legs. That's when he's human. So the best argument that I present to them, I believe, is the one that, no, as soon as it's fertilized, it's human. It has the human essence. And the DNA is there, just incomplete. And
regardless, it's a human being in a stage of development. That's all it is.
Yeah. And that's what I say to them.
So, it is murdering a human being. Like, it's a human being in a stage of development. Like, everybody wants to use, words like fetus and stuff to try to dehumanize the deal to make themselves feel better, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I hear
you. It's sad. But
hold on. So let's move from that to counseling.
I just want to see if they're consistent.
But now what we're doing is now we're talking about a lot of people who are listening to this who may have had abortions. Now we get to talk to that, okay?
Sure.
Because the issue here is that even as David murdered in the Old Testament to cover up the illicit affair he had, he was forgiven. And even this great sin is forgivable. And what I always want people to know, particularly the ladies, and men too, is that it's not okay to do that, but you can still go to the Lord Jesus Christ and be completely forgiven and healed. And he can do that, and he will do that. Just turn your heart to him. Turn the grief to him. Turn the guilt to him and lay it before the cross. Let the blood of God wash over it. You got a lot of background noise, Cody.
The cold wind, sorry, but you're absolutely correct, because I think theologically, of course, we agree that Jesus died for the sins of those who put their faith and trust in him for their salvation, and every single one of them he bled and died for.
There we go. And it's good that you are inquiring, and good for you. Keep it up, man. All right.
I mean, do you think that's a fairly good list?
Along with women pastors and elders and their position on homosexuality, do they believe in the inspiration of Scripture? Is Jesus a man right now? A lot of times they don't get it. Is baptism necessary for salvation? I've written an article on CARM about what things to look for in a church, and it has things.
Yeah,
you should
it's a great article. I'm kind of. Of course, more theologically astute than the average individual. And so, that's why I asked you those particular questions, because they tell me a lot about where the person stands.
Okay.
And,
sounds good.
So thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, buddy. God bless.
Yeah, God bless.
Okay. All right, now let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I got two questions real quick. People always say Jesus Christ, great one. Like, that's the only thing.
Wait. I can't understand you. Okay, slow down.
People always say that Jesus Christ, great one. But
he
drank
wine.
Wine. Okay, that's the only thing they focus on. They don't focus on other things he did in his 3 years ministry.
Hold on. You made a statement. People talk about Jesus drinking wine. It's the only thing they focus on. What people...
Right.
Hold on. What people is there are that that's the only thing they focus on?
When I talk to people who drink wine, right, they say that they justify, well, Jesus Christ drink wine, so they only focus on that verse and never read the other verses that the things that Jesus Christ did in his ministry. They don't focus on Jesus Christ.
Okay, are you telling me?
Staying all night, praying.
Hold on. So are you telling me that you're encountering Christians who only focus on Jesus making wine?
No, drinking wine or Catholics, I just got drink wine. They say drink wine, but that's the only first, that's the only verse that sinners only focus on. Sinners or
Wait, hold on. Alberto, I can't understand half of what you're saying. You're speaking so quickly.
Why?
It's just not clear.
Well, that people focus only on the verse that Jesus Christ drank wine. They never focus on the other verses in the Bible that things he did in his 3 years ministry. Why don't they focus on own verses also? Why not?
I've never encountered anybody who does that. I'm curious.
Well, I do. Trust me. Okay. I do. I have a quick question for you. You say that Christians only date believers and not unbelievers. So what about if I ask the girls, Christian girls, to go out and date with me? They're all rejecting.
If you ask a what? If you ask a what? A Christian girl?
If I ask Christian girls to go to date with me, because Christians have to date only believers, not unbelievers. And Christian girls,
no?
They all reject me.
Well,
but listen to me. Just listen. Let me finish my thought. Let me finish my thought, please.
Whoa.
Okay? Let me finish. Please.
I'll
let you talk afterwards.
Oh, you'll thank you. That's
so
nice.
If they all reject me, then so okay, so they all reject me, they don't want to go and date with me, so I'll go to the local pimp and ask him if I could date one of these prostitutes.
We're done. Come on. That's rather disturbing. I don't want him to come back on the air. So that was interesting. Alberto is an interesting individual. And let's just say that, okay. Well, I think that was self-explanatory. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you had a good time listening today and that it was interesting and informative, at least in some parts of it. And may the Lord bless you. And by his grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. And I just hope you have a great evening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.